One of the things you say right up front is you think this is an American story more than anything else. Why do you think that?
Well, I think the Hatfield-McCoy story tells us a lot about American history. For such a long time, it's been regarded as an aberrant event that happened in a strange place. When I started to do the research, which is more than 30 years ago, it was really interesting to see the confluence between these supposed events of shooting and hillbilly activity and violence with the coming of the railroad and logging. In other words, the coming of capitalism to Appalachia was what really precipitated all this violence and led to this feud. What I was interested in is the ways in which capitalism impacts local communities. And I had seen some of this before because I originally studied New England. And studying New England during the early part of the 19th century, when capitalism was emerging in New England, I saw a lot of parallels in Appalachia. The difference is that in Appalachia, it came much more suddenly. So that's why I think it tells us this feud, although it seems to be an anomaly in American history, is actually a story about economic development and social change.
Who were the Hatfields and the McCoys, and how did this get going?
Well, when I started my research, it was interesting. I wasn't even sure if it was a real event or if it was a legend, because it is so famous. So when I went to Appalachia, to West Virginia University, to teach, I wanted to do some local history there. And I thought, well, if that really happened, if that was a real event, that's what I want to look at. So I started researching and found out that, yes, there was an event which sparked all the publicity and so forth. And there really wasn't much published on it in historical terms. So as a professional historian, I said, okay, this really looks very interesting. So what I found out about the way it started was that Appalachia was a very rural community which had not been included in the economic development which had started in the early 19th century. And the first sign of the development that was to come was the logging industry, because the rest of America needed logs, needed building supplies, and Appalachia had trees. So suddenly the price of land was increased. And this led to some rather interesting conflicts between the local community. Even though people owned it and had deeds to it, they used each other's land without much problem. But when it became much more valuable, then it became an issue. Both the Hatfields and McCoys were involved in logging trees. This was small scale. They logged trees, they floated them down the river, and were paid for them. But it caused conflict as to who was logging on whose property. And that conflict led to some of the first events of the feud. Some people always have attributed that it was the Civil War. My argument is that nothing happened in what we know of as feud events until 13 years after the Civil War. So that suggests that really the community had dealt with the Civil War. They were trying to rebuild, and those animosities were fading. I think certainly the influence of the Civil War, in terms of there being so much violence, especially in frontier areas, and especially in some of these family units, was true, but it wasn't the primary cause of this animosity. The primary cause came when the price of land went up because of logging.
The incident, however, that's attributed through the documented information on American experience and throughout some of the books, the 17 books that have been written about this and all the films and whatnot, was on Election Day 1882 in Kentucky, when there was a fight between one of Anderson Hatfield's brothers and three of Randolph McCoy's sons. Eventually, three of the sons were killed, really executed from that. And then several years later, two of Anderson Hatfield's sons were part of a posse that surrounded Randolph McCoy's cabin, trying to get to him. Two of his children were killed, and his wife was severely injured. And that seemed to explode the entire situation.
Yes, the 1882 Election Day fight was an important, probably the real beginning, although that some people have argued, no, it was a fight over a pig that happened 4 years earlier. But really, when we see the feud explode, it's in this 1882 election. if you look at what had happened just before that, you begin to see the connection between the economic development of the Tug River Valley and the feud, because Randolph McCoy had been involved in a logging operation with his father, and they had failed miserably because they had logged trees on someone else's land. They'd been sued. Randall McCoy, who was known as the chief of the McCoys, although I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, lost land. It made him very poor. It made the McCoy family poor, essentially, because they had to sell their land to pay off the person they lost the case to. So they had had a very bad experience, and Randolph McCoy was, understandably in a way, known as someone who was very resentful and very bitter about what had happened to him. And he constantly talked about it. This is one of the things that people in the community noted about him, was he may have had good reason, but he also constantly talked about it, and to his children. When that election day came along, several of his sons, who were grown young men, early 20s, they were tenant farmers. They were not doing well economically. So here they were on the election ground with Anderson Hatfield's sons, and Anderson Hatfield was not there that day. Neither was Randolph McCoy. In fact, the two never really met. That's a myth about the feud. Anderson Hatfield had formed a logging company, and he had been extremely successful. He had employed many of the young men who were in a hopeless economic situation of getting land to be farmers. So he had provided them with land, not only his own children, but other people that he employed. And there was a lot of loyalty to him. So he was seen as a very successful businessman. His children were also at this 1882 election. And people say, well, why were they in Kentucky? Because they were Virginia, West Virginia. And I have to remind people that the Tug River Valley was divided by a very artificial boundary between Kentucky and West Virginia. They considered themselves one community. The Tug River connected the community. So they went to each other's election day all the time. This election day, Randolph's son, Tolbert, who had been the most angry and bitter, actually started a fight with a Hatfield, but not one of Anderson Hatfield's relatives, but a completely different Hatfield family. And one must remember parenthetically in the Tug Valley that McCoys and Hatfields were names like Smith and Jones. They were everywhere. So he was harassing this particular Hatfield when one of Devil Ance's sons intervened, trying to make peace, you know, trying to stop the fight. Well, this just angered Tolbert even more. He attacked Ellison Hatfield. They fought. Ellison was unarmed. And they fought, and then two of Tolbert's brothers joined the fight with knives, stabbing Ellison rather dramatically. He picked up a rock to try to defend himself, and he was fatally wounded. He didn't die right away. What I would suggest is that this has always been portrayed as just hillbillies drinking and fighting. Then it caused this animosity between the families. Well, no, it was not that simple. It had much more to do with their competition over the industrial development, which at that point was pretty much the logging industry.
So this complex situation really is about the extension of commerce into parts of the country that didn't have very much success. And in fact, what was going on with the industrialization of the United States at that time, when industry was spreading and everything in society was really changing.
Yes. The industrialization began in the 1830s and 40s in New England and was spreading, and it had both positive and negative effects for just about everyone involved. But to arrive in the post-Civil War era, when industrialization really rapidly progressed, extremely rapidly, and the lumbering industry went everywhere. They were in northern New England. They were everywhere cutting trees to build things. This was what the first impact on the Appalachian region. It wouldn't be the last. It was only kind of the beginning of what was going on, because the next thing would be railroads and coal.
And that also played a significant role in some of the escalation in some of the situations between the two families, with a peripheral influence from another major player in that region as well, who was involved with the railroads and, in fact, with politics.
Yes. And that involves the feud being translated into something entirely different than it was originally. After the Election Day fight, Ellison Hatfield died 2 days later, and his father, known as Devil Lance, made it pretty clear that he was not going to allow this to go unpunished because Ellison had been unarmed. And in that way, he was speaking to the mores of the community because this fight was extremely unfair in the eyes of the community. Ellison Hatfield was unarmed. He was a very strong, big man, but he was unarmed. And he was attacked by three McCoys with knives and guns. So when Devil Lance announced to the world and to the three boys that he took prisoner, essentially, that if Ellison lived, he would let them go. If Ellison died, they would die. And he carried out that threat. And it's interesting that he took this form because what we know about Devil Lance is that previous to this, when he felt like something was unjust, he usually went to court. He didn't get out his gun. It's interesting that in this case, he felt like he couldn't depend on the justice system because this event had happened in Kentucky. And if the boys were taken to Pikeville, Kentucky, they would really not get a fair trial. That was his rationale. But I think the point of that is that most people thought, although they were horrified, and I really have to say that this was not a normal event. They were upset with Devil Lance's behavior, but they thought it's a justice in a way. So there it lay for 5 years. The community had decided basically to let it go. 5 years later, the feud was revived. Most of the violence that we attribute to the feud came about in that second phase after the feud was revived.
And this takes in the form of two of Anderson, known as Devil Lance, Hatfield sons, going to Randolph McCoy's cabin, and he's known as Randall because there's back and forth in the discussion of who's who, trying to get to him and to kill him. There's a gunfight. That doesn't do so well. So they set fire to the cabin, and he escapes, but two of his children die, and his wife is severely injured, and that becomes the core of the explosion from that point forward.
The cabin burning incident really is the point where it becomes a national issue. It hits the New York Times and the press all over the country.
This story is centuries old now. What makes it current for a national documentary through a series that looks back at history and interprets it sort of into better understanding of where we are today?
I wrote the book, which was 30 years ago. And to me, I'm very happy that it's survived this long and that it's still in print. I always wanted them to do a film about it. So I'm very pleased that this tries to get at the whole backstory of this.
Anything we haven't discussed that you think we should?
One of the ways we justify bringing industrialization and modernization, no matter what the cost, is that we like to dehumanize the people that are going to not benefit, who are going to suffer from it. It's been that same way for, you know, centuries in this country. I mean, Native Americans, Black people are all sort of dehumanized in order to justify their exploitation. That's one of the really important things because it's a very clear line in the case of the Hatfields McCoys of this conflict and violence and then the national justification for it. It's explicit in the press and everywhere else that, you know, these people need to be civilized. And that civilization really involves exploitation. And that's the justification for it. So I think that's a lesson we really need to think about from this feud.